The NBA 2023 Finals are just around the corner, and we're excited to witness the top matchups battle it out on the court. From fast breaks to slam dunks, you won't want to miss the 2023 NBA Finals, where what happens next lives on forever. This time is for all time, and that's what makes it beautiful. It's a beautiful time for basketball. Who will take home the Larry O'Brien Trophy? Find out by watching the NBA Finals, starting June 1st on ABC.
You knew the job was dangerous when you took it, Fred.
I have a question. Shh, be respectful of me.
You can act like a man!
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
I guess I should salute you as a worthy adversary and all that, but the truth is, I really did hate your guts.
This is the Signal Storm Podcast.
It is a rather sad and an infuriating Memorial Day weekend. You know, I always am heartened to know that there are men and women out there who would give their lives so that we remain free. And when I see that those who live under that freedom completely do actions that are unworthy of those people who sacrifice so much, it gets my goat. I got to be honest with you. Before I get to the getting of goat part, let me just address those families who have had to deal with the loss of a loved one who paid the ultimate price, the full measure of devotion for this country. You have my admiration, you have my prayers, and you have my love for what you and your family have had to endure. And those who sacrificed for me, they didn't even know my name. I am so humbled and so dedicated to making sure they didn't die in vain. That this last best hope of mankind on earth remains the United States of America, free, prosperous, and strong. And because of that, I am in conflict with those who are not dedicated to that endeavor. The majority of the Democrat Party, and sadly, as we witnessed over the Memorial weekend, an alarming number of Republicans. For those of you who don't know, in the federal legislature, Joe Biden has reached an agreement with Republicans. There will be no reductions in wasteful, irresponsible, inflation-causing spending. In fact, the debt ceiling will be raised. It'll be raised for 2 years, and there will be no reductions in spending. As a matter of fact, at the end of the day, it's going to be an increase. More profligate, irresponsible spending. There you go. Now, the Republicans who caved in, and this is a 100% cave, the Republicans who caved in think that their voters are going to go to the polls and go, just got to vote more Republicans in because, you know, we need to be able to affect change. And boy, if we just keep on electing Republicans, that change will one day come. And that day never comes. Then while all that was going on in the state of Texas, the individuals who run the Texas State House, the House of Representatives, they are Republicans in name only. These individuals turned in the most disgraceful left-wing, pro-Democrat, pro-socialist, pro-Marxist legislative session that I have seen in my time in Texas, and many Texans have seen in memory. And then to cover up for their malfeasance so that we're focused on anything but what they have done or failed to do to protect us, whether it be stopping communist China and Iran and Russia from buying land in Texas, whether it be stopping GovEd from poisoning the minds of our kids and restoring parents with the rightful authority to dictate where that money goes, parental school choice, whether it be failing to harden the grid. We all can't focus on that now because the Texas House has decided to illegally impeach Ken Paxton. 665.081 in the Texas code prohibits this, prohibits what they have done, but they're going to do it anyway. Sadly, folks, I can't get, Sean and I on the show Behind the Show try to get beyond politics to talk about issues that impact our daily lives that don't necessarily translate into politics, but we can't get away from it. They are so in our face, we can't ignore them. The show Behind the Show with Sean Chastain, up next on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Are you sick of all these Medicare commercials? Well, what if you're under 65 and need quality, affordable health coverage? American Medical Plan specializes in under 65 health insurance plans that have zero copays at the doctor and no deductible on all outpatient services, including surgeries. You pick your doctors and hospitals. There are private plans, enroll anytime, and they are 30 to 60% less than Obamacare. If you're paying too much for your own health insurance, call American Medical Plans. They will customize a plan managed and chosen by you, not the government.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Genital mutilation is happening to Texas kids. These abusive medical practices are being pushed by the radical woke leftists in our state. You can go to TexasScorecard.com to learn more and get real news for real Texans.
Folks, time for the show Behind the Show and our buddy Sean Chastain. Hey, man, Memorial Day weekend is when we're recording this, and we remember those who paid the ultimate sacrifice for our freedoms. The guys that you were in service with, anybody actually give their life in service to the country that you knew?
No. Did have a high school friend that got blowed up in Iraq.
Oh, wow.
But he's fine. He had some scars and was in Frankfurt, Germany for a while, getting fixed up, but he survived and has been a 20-year cop in Utah. So,
well, that's awesome, man. I gotta say, I'm in Mass today. And of course, as we were exiting, America the Beautiful was the hymn that was being sung. Uh-huh. And I'm as you know, you've known me a long time. You know my sense of justice, the reason why I do what I do, because America has just been it is a miracle. It has been a miracle, and when I see a threat to that miracle, it is it is something that really gets my ire up. So I was thinking, wow, just the freedom to worship is on the line now in some precincts in this country. So thank you for your service to the country. And folks, I hope you can remember when this podcast drops, Memorial Day is to remember those who gave the full measure of devotion for this country, giving their lives for perfect strangers. And Sean, any thoughts on that?
Well, not only that, but having 1, 2, 3 active duty service members now in my family, retired, both my parents retired, my sister retired. The families put up with a lot mm-hmm. when you're in the military. My daughter, her wife is an officer in the Air Force, and, they moved 5 times, and my twin grandson's just turned 7. So that's a lot to ask, for the spouses of service members that keep the home fires burning, man. Thank you.
Yeah. And those who are saddled sadly with the grief of family members who will not come home.
And then are so often forgotten.
I know.
And it's terrible.
Well, you and I, we try to make the show Behind the Show about more human aspects of our lives, of our daily lives.
Yeah, because you don't have one, so.
I do have a life, dude. And I know. See, that's his attempt, folks, because he knows what's coming. But before we get, and this is the problem, that these people in politics now are making it impossible for us to ignore what they're doing. And that's when you know that shit's out of control, is that you can't, that they're having such a bad impact on your life that you can't ignore what they do. And this is a problem. Right. So before we get into all of that, what else happened to you in the week that was, or maybe you've looking forward to something the week that is coming?
Yeah, I just kind of got through the week with this frustrating sinus deal. I don't know. It's just been really annoying. But anyway,
well, you sound better. You sound a lot better.
Yeah. It's getting fine. Yeah. About to participate in what is probably now a 45-year-old tradition, and that is watching the Indianapolis 500. I'm very excited about it. It used to be not to go, you know, too much Gen X member berries on you, but when I was a kid, the Indianapolis 500 was a humongous deal. It's on ABC Sports, and they would show Carburetor Day and Bubble Day, and I was glued to it the whole month of May. And it just doesn't happen right now anymore, you know. But it's just such an American tradition. I don't even know what anniversary this is. It's over 100 of running the Indianapolis 500. So, and I'm kind of excited about it too, because I just got back from Albuquerque visiting the grandkids, and we went to the Unser Racing Museum. The Unser family has been in racing since racing, and four-time Indy winner. And so, you know, it was just really cool to see that stuff, and I'm always excited to watch racing.
I'm a, and not to get, and sad that it is political, but not to get political on this, is I'm wondering what these races look like when all the cars are electric. What does a pit stop look like? You know, you're 12 hours to charge the battery.
Yeah. They would just pull the batteries out and put new ones in. But there's already electric racing. There's many series of electric racing, including Formula E. And other than the sound, it's pretty much the same.
Well, wait a minute. Yeah. The sound.
Yeah, it's very strange. Yeah, it's very strange.
So, and then when you've got instantaneous power, electric motors do have, then I guess the challenge is maybe even more so on the driver.
Yeah, regulating that power and getting it to the ground and making it stick.
And don't the tires become exponentially more important?
Oh, yes.
With an electric vehicle? Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not saying, I wasn't making any judgment calls as to whether or not it'll be better or worse, or I'm just wondering how different it will be. And I can imagine without the roar of the engines in a live event, it's going to be, what are they going to have? Blasting music?
I don't think you're going to see all electric racing in our lifetime. Yeah, so I wouldn't worry too much about
it. Well, I praise God we won't, because that's because of the politics of all of this. It's not going to be good for our country. Okay, so let's, speaking of politics, let's get into the national stuff.
You're itching. That's all you know. So
I'm not itching. I'm just saying, man. I mean, we can't ignore it. I'm going to start with the.
I'm just giving you crap, buddy.
I know, and I'm going to start with the national stuff first, because we can just, for me, it's less troubling what's happening on the national level than what happened here at home in Texas. So over the Memorial Day weekend, not a coincidence, it was Memorial Day weekend, it was announced that the Republicans reached a deal with Joe Biden, and the Republicans completely caved, 100% caved. There will be no spending cuts. There will be the same profligate spending. And to add insult to injury, it's a 2-year deal, so we won't even get to have a debate on this in the presidential election. It's off the table. So, what were your thoughts?
Yeah, I hadn't seen the details yet. I just saw that they had an agreement in place. So, I mean, unfortunately, it doesn't shock me.
Well, let me give you the details. Hold on, since you haven't seen it, let me give the details. There will be no spending decreases next year, and there will be a 1% increase in the following year. So basically, no, not, and by the way, these weren't cuts. This was a reduction in the rate of increase that the Republicans claimed they wanted. Now, not only will there not be a reduction, there's actually going to be an increase in spending.
Okay, but that's something. I mean, when budgets go up by 10% every year, regardless of what's spent or not spent, to have it not go up at all, that's good.
But it's already at an unacceptably high level. That's what I'm saying.
I know, but that's the way it's. I mean, you're right. It's a ridiculous level, but to go up more than when every other year it has, that's a good thing. So I'm not crazy upset about that. I never expected them to say, yeah, we're going to cut, you know, $5 trillion out of the budget.
Well, for over 10 years, that was $5 trillion over 10 years, which again was not a cut. It was a decrease in the already unacceptable level of money coming into the federal government. So the Republicans now have put their rubber stamp of approval on the Democrats' spending levels which are.
It's their spending levels too. That's a uniparty up there now as far as spending goes.
Yes, no truer words have been, and that's exactly my point. It was a complete cave under the guise of a debate. There is no two-party system. There is no debate, and we're all screwed. And so we're now we're on path at the next 10 years to be $51 trillion in debt. Do you know that already we're approaching $1 trillion in interest payments alone on the debt per year because of the rising interest rates? $1 trillion in interest, and that doesn't even touch the principal. And how are we supposed to fund defense? How are we supposed to fund all these entitlements the left wing claims they want when you've already got right now one fifth of your budget swallowed up instantaneously, boom, with just interest on the debt and going higher?
So what are the rest of the details? Did they get the work requirement?
That they got some nibbling around the edges. For those who are asking for welfare, you do have to have prove some modicum of looking for work. But again, the details and the specificity of that have not been released. Although all they've said is some nebulous, well, we will get some requirements for work. For welfare, and but we have no idea. It'll probably be, judging by this deal, it'll probably be tantamount to nothing.
Well, again, it doesn't really shock me, and you know, this would be the first crack in Kevin McCarthy's armor. He's done a pretty good job since being elected. I thought he was going to be a total Mitt Romney type, you know, but he's actually held up his end of the bargain pretty well. Mm-hmm. The Freedom Caucus, I'm sure they're not happy. I don't know how much input they had in all these discussions.
Right.
From what I heard, it wasn't much.
It wasn't disappointing. Much. And it's going. And you watch the vote. You're going to see conservatives voting no. You'll see an overwhelming number of Democrats joining milquetoast Republicans, the uniparty you made reference to. And that's how we're going to be saddled with trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars more of unrepayable debt. And business as usual. All they can agree on is to shake hands. We get to spend money on everything. We don't prioritize. We're the United States Congress. And it's not our money. It's your money. By the way, just pony up, right? It's sick.
My question was always, well, what if we did default? What if we just didn't, you know, get this deal worked out? And some economists, of course, you know, the world ends and America is no longer blah, blah, blah. But then you got guys like Steve Moore, who was one of Trump's top economic advisors, talking about it's not that big a deal. The government shuts down basically every weekend. The government shuts down every holiday. And it's not that big of a concern as far as the government shutting down.
Now, I've been looking a lot into this. And again, I think we got to stop conflating terms like debt ceiling and default. Because just because you hit the debt ceiling doesn't mean you necessarily default. Let me give you some numbers. $2.6 trillion have already been taken in by the federal government just as we're coming toward the end of May, right? So already $2.6 trillion have been taken out of the American people's pockets in the federal government's hands. The law requires that you don't default. So you would have to make a conscious decision as a politician to take money out of our creditors and our debtors, to not pay them, to divert money to all of our entitlements and all this BS, right, all this BS that they spend money on, and then, of course, take it away from the military and all that kind of stuff. So you would have to intentionally do that. Just because you hit the debt ceiling doesn't mean you default. The only thing that, Sean, the debt ceiling means is you can't borrow any more money to overspend. Right. You have to live within your means. So you've got to prioritize spending, which these children in government don't want to do. They don't want to do it.
I know, man. And how many years have we been doing this? How many years have we said the same thing?
$31 trillion.
And yeah, nothing changes. And it's a uniparty when it comes to spending. It's a uniparty as far as most everything goes up there. So I don't know. I mean, you can, you know, I'll continue to vote reluctantly. And hopefully, maybe some year, the right people get in and actually do something. But
well, it's before that happens, the United States will be Greece. Before that happens, we'll get an economic calamity. Don't worry, all of your politicians will be just fine. They're multimillionaires, yeah, because they've parlayed their positions of power and authority. Their families will be just fine. They'll be just fine. But you and your family will be in squalor, much the way post-World War II Germany was. And trust me, all of your elected officials who you all look the other way on, they'll be just fine, and they'll be telling you how it's been your fault this entire time, the same way they do with Trump. That leads me back home to Texas. Again, Memorial Weekend. I'm gonna save the worst for last. The Memorial Weekend puts the end of the legislative session. How much, I know where you work, so probably not a lot. How much have you been paying attention to what's been going on in the State House?
Oh, a little bit. Did they get school choice passed at all?
No. Okay. Happen? All right. Let me tell you what didn't happen. Okay. There was a common sense bill by Lois Kolkhorst, who was a senator. By the way, the Senate went to work, did all kinds of great conservative, passed all the Republican priorities plus.
Yes.
And there was one bill that says, you know what? It's not a good idea to sell Texas land to communist China. It's not a good, yes, idea to sell Texas land to Iran and to Mother Russia. The House got a hold of that bill and said, oh, nope, we're getting paid off. We don't care that China gets a foothold in to control our food supply. We don't care that China gets a foothold to spy on our military installations. We're going to keep selling Texas land to China, said the Texas, wow, House Republicans. That's number one. Number two, no, the answer to your question, parental school choice died because 23 Republicans, air quotes Republicans, sided with socialists to kill school choice. One, wow, Democrat by the name of Harold Dutton, one Democrat said, no, I want to prioritize children over this establishment education lobby that is, right, failing our kids. One Democrat and the Senate conservatives said, we need to have parental school choice. Republicans like Charlie Guerin joined together with socialists and said, nope, screw you, F you. We will tell you, we're going to continue to take your money. And oh, by the way, we're going to make, not only are we not going to be interested in policing what's going on in schools, we're not going to allow parents to do it either. Sorry, screw you.
Yeah.
So in essence, Sean, what happened was, is the Texas House turned in the most pro-socialist, pro-communist, and I'm not being rhetorical because of the China thing, pro-Democrat session in memory, and failed to deliver on so many conservative priorities, and then to cap it all off.
How much are my property taxes going down?
Don't know yet. Everybody that I see that's evaluated the House proposal saying that the House maintained the lion's share of that surplus, the, what was it, 30, was it, no, was it 23? It was some.
I thought it was like $37 billion.
I think it was $32 billion in surplus.
Yeah.
They're going to maintain the government. The Texas government's going to maintain the surplus of that, and they're going to keep it. And then they're going to give you some nibbling around the edges. The Senate wanted more tax relief, but they didn't do it. They didn't. The Texas House said no on that. Texas House said no on real border security. Texas House said no on securing the power grid. No, you know what? We saw grid down, power up, and saw that 9 in 10 Texans could die. But, you know, F it. We don't care. We don't care. We've got a whole bunch of people paying us off. So they didn't do anything on the power grid either, Sean. 250 dead Texans were not enough for Dade Phelan and the majority of the Republicans in the Texas House.
So the most salacious part of the session was, of course, Dade Phelan himself, drunk off his ass on the House floor.
I can't prove that. All I know, he was impaired. There's other video out there.
Okay, that's a great point.
Yep.
It sure did look like he was drunk off his ass.
I have no idea what was impairing him and his speech and causing his, he refuses to talk about it. I have no idea what was impairing some other so-called Republican members of the Texas House, who we also are in the process of putting together a tape so that all of Texas can see. I would have to say after the session they turned in, they must have been impaired because, frankly, man, the socialist session that was just put out by Dade Phelan and the Texas Republican leadership was a disgrace. A disgrace.
We had a Texas Attorney General Paxton on one of the shows I do, and it was right out. It was before his big news, but it was right after the Dade Phelan news came out.
Yeah,
and
he was on this podcast. Yeah. He was on this podcast and on The Voice of Texas first. His first interview after calling for Dade Phelan to step down, and basically say, look, he was impaired, apparently, and needs to step down. So go ahead.
Well, I mean, he flat out called him Drunk Dade, that's a well-known nickname for him, and that it's not only him. Like you said, it's a ton of members on the House floor. They get trashed and just go do this stuff. And he said you compare the House to the Senate, and it's night and day as far as conservatism goes, and that's one of the reasons is, you know, these good old boys are just getting effed up every day.
Yeah, well,
during the session,
I have no idea on whether it was alcohol, though there are photos circulating on the web of the hosted bar that was set up in the Texas Capitol for these House members. And again, we're going to be releasing as soon as we compile all of the video of all of these other, which I believe Charlie Guerin is also pictured slurring his words, impaired in some way, which, again, I think you would have to be impaired to do to stab so many Texans in the back as Charlie Guerin and his left-wing pro-Democrat ilk have done. And that leads us to what transpired over the Memorial Weekend, a falsely predicated and what many are calling illegal impeachment of Ken Paxton. Your thoughts?
I really like Ken Paxton a lot. And the little that I've read, you know, the in-depth stuff on these charges, it seems pretty trumped up by a bunch of disgruntled employees, former employees. But then again, you know, there's so much smoke around Ken that it does make you wonder, is there any fire there?
Well, that's the goal. And you've been, when Ken Paxton won his first attorney general's race, shortly thereafter, you and I met and you and I started doing a radio show together. And since that time, as you may or may not remember, Ken Paxton won an election against the wishes of the left-wing Republican establishment in Texas, against the Bushies here in Texas.
Right.
His sin was not genuflecting before the grand poobahs of the Republican establishment, the Ann Richards Republican establishment in Texas. And
that's kind of the feeling I get. And, you know, again, not having delved real deep into it, that's the feeling I get. But again, you know, is
well, it's not
bias?
A feeling. And remember, the charges that came out initially after he won election, the vast majority of them have been dropped. Do you know that dating back 9 years ago, Ken Paxton still has not had his day in court?
Right.
They refuse. They want to keep this over him. A lot of that debunked testimony over this last decade came out in this so-called impeachment hearing that they had, where they didn't allow Ken Paxton or his counsel the ability to testify or rebut the accusations. Now, you tell me, on what planet, maybe in Soviet land, maybe in communist China land, that's appropriate. But nothing resembling the United States of America is the accused denied the ability to respond right. to the charges.
Yeah, I know. And that's just, it's unacceptable. And, you know, hopefully the, when is the Senate vote?
Well, the Senate, it's a trial.
By the way,
they've taken Ken Paxton out. He cannot administer his office until the trial. Now, I'm an amateur lawyer. If I were the lawyers advising the Senate, I would point to, and one of Ken Paxton's, one of his attorneys pointed to the Texas statute that said this impeachment was illegal. I would point to that statute saying the House broke Texas law and broke the Texas code. This is an illegitimate impeachment, case closed. Thank you for the articles. This is an illegitimate impeachment, case closed, and bang the gavel. And then I would start exploring charges on all of those who investigated and brought these charges, and perhaps those who voted, all 60 so-called Republicans who voted. I would start investigations into their offices, because I don't think it's a coincidence, Sean, that here's Ken Paxton. He announces an investigation against Big Pharma, because, as you know, Big Pharma was indemnified from prosecution from Congress on the federal level, but it doesn't apply to Texas. And apparently, according to the Attorney General, they're investigating the laws that may have been broken from Big Pharma in the state of Texas. And then, lo and behold, Ken Paxton gets shown the door and gets impeached. Do you think it's a coincidence?
It doesn't sound like it. I don't know the details of that. You know, I know that he gets on a radio program, calls Dade feeling a drunk, and then the next day is impeached.
Yeah.
So,
well, and by the way, the timing on that.
I mean, it just sounds like a big old pissing match. And like I said, I really like Ken Paxton and what he's done for Texas. And obviously, I'm not the only one. I mean, what did he win by, like 60% or something in this last election?
Double digits over his
socialist
challenger. Yeah, it was a landslide. So, you're right, because here Ken Paxton is calling him to resign, and then boom, within hours, all of a sudden you've got a committee meeting, with three Republicans, Charlie Guerin among them, and two Democrats, socialists, saying, yep, 5-0, we're going to send it to the floor. And you know what? There was more debate on repealing the tampon tax than was on impeaching Ken Paxton in the Texas House.
Oh, Chris, man. You know how easily I could be swayed toward apathy, and this is just another example. Nobody's going to jail. Nobody's going to pay any political costs.
Yep. And I've got to thank.
It's so frustrating. From top to bottom, it's frustrating.
It is frustrating. And I get these emails, you know, what do we do? How do we know? And I've got to thank the 60 Republicans who voted for impeachment, the 23 Republicans who voted to stab every Texas parent in the back, the Republicans in charge of making sure that the lowest coal-coursed prohibition on foreign enemies buying land in Texas died in the Texas. Right. All of those people, if they were responsible for any of those things, you don't vote or give money to those people. Thank you for the voter guide. Thank you for all to these Republicans for the voter guide. We really appreciate it.
I'm with you, man. I got a bone up for because, like I said, I was so ashamed last week when I was, or a couple weeks ago, when I was bitching about them air conditioning the prisons.
Mm-hmm.
And then you asked me who my rep was, and I couldn't come up with it. And that's shameful.
Well, did you do it?
So
who's your rep?
I don't remember now.
Dude,
I did look it up, but now I don't remember.
What? Oh. Okay.
I know I shouldn't even brought it up.
I know,
I
you're
look like a double fool.
I know. I've been sick. Stop it. I've been sick.
Right. I've been sick and I'm waiting for the Indian to come on. But no, you know, and that's a shame.
Yeah.
And I knew him for the longest time. It was Phil King, but he's now in the Senate.
And doing good work and, over there, by the way.
Yeah, and I just, you know, hadn't paid that much attention. But that being said, that is my responsibility. And if I'm going to bitch about this stuff, I've got to at least become that involved where I know who my rep is and can give him a call to say, hey, don't air condition prisons and lower my property taxes and give school choice.
Amen. Amen.
And I didn't do any of those things, and I'm ashamed.
Well, you're not alone, and I hope more people. I think I have to say this because you know I'm a sci-fi fan, and yeah, go ahead, make your joke because you always do whenever I bring it up. Go ahead, shove me in the locker.
It's all right.
Yeah, a little swirl. Shove me in the locker, swirly in the toilet. What are you gonna say? Come on,
yank your underwear up around your head.
Okay, so that's over. Michael Quinn Sullivan, who's also a sci-fi fan, tweeted out this picture of Obi-Wan Kenobi and Darth Vader in their iconic lightsaber battle in Star Wars. And there was a line uttered by Obi-Wan Kenobi that said, if you should strike me down, I'll become more powerful than you could ever imagine. And I think the politics that these leftists who call themselves Republicans just unleashed, I think they have just basically elevated Ken Paxton. It's the same thing with the Trump phenomenon. Every single time they go after right. him with these yeah. illegal maneuvers, these, you know, these Trump Russia collusion pieces of crap, he gets yeah. stronger and stronger and stronger because the people see through it. And I think that's just what happened to Ken Paxton.
Well, I know you you don't like saying it, but drunk date feeling needs to go.
Well, if I thought he was the only one, you know, of all of the people in that legislature, and I'm going to say this, I mean this, Dade Phelan has the biggest excuse not to to vote conservative because he is elected, and this is what Texas does, stupidly so, he is elected with Republican and Democrat votes. So he can honestly say, I am devoted to my Democrat base, even though he yeah. calls himself a Republican. All those 60 Republicans that voted for impeachment, the 23 Republicans who voted against parental school choice, they were voted in as Republicans and they should be devoted to the conservative base and they have no excuse. Dade Phelan at least has an excuse. I owe it to the guys who put me in power.
Right.
Right?
Well, man, I want you to be heartened a little bit because I really do feel that there's a sea change coming. That people are waking up. The last 2 years has given us a lot of grief. And now with stuff like this in Texas, and I'm sure a lot of other legislatures around the country, people not getting what they want, what they expected. And I think really a lot of people are starting to wake up. I mean, it's so frustrating when you've got the Biden crime family grandchildren getting checks from the Chinese government. Yeah, I mean, and not a, you know, where the hell are Woodward and Bernstein? You know, where are those people?
Yeah, you know, it's only good. Investigative journalists yeah. are only alive when it's Republicans on the line.
Yeah,
you know,
I know.
And then Christopher Wray, the FBI director. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I have this investigation against Biden yeah. and basically proving all of the collusion and the selling of his position and policy for the United States for a payday. I'm just not going to turn it over to you because I run Washington now. The FBI runs Washington. I think the American people are sick of that crap.
Well, and I think with the rise of a more right-leaning alt media.
Yeah.
There are a lot more people waking up to that kind of stuff, and I'm, you know, I'm disheartened to see the Target losing $8 billion, Bud Light selling a 24-pack for $3.
I love it.
You know, stuff like that, and then Dan Bongino says things change when it gets bad enough, and 2 years ago it just wasn't bad enough. And so I'm hoping that, or even at the midterms,
yeah,
it just wasn't bad enough.
Well,
and he points to the Giuliani election in New York, you know, that he had run once before and crime just wasn't bad enough, but then it got worse. And so I don't know, man. I just think there's a change of coming. At least I'm hopeful for it.
Well, me too. And you know what? And I use you for a barometer. Not only do I trust you, and you're a good friend, and you're a good-hearted man, but, you know, don't take this the wrong way, but you don't pay attention and internalize everything the way I do, and if it's impacting if it's impacting you, that means it's getting that bad. So I'm praying the rest of the folks wake up too. Hey, buddy, you have a great rest of your Memorial weekend. Talk to you next week.
All right, peace.
That puts a wrap on the Memorial Day edition of the Salcedo Storm podcast. Do me and yourself a favor, folks. If you want to keep in touch with what's going on with arguably legislation and activities that impact your world a heck of a lot more severely than what's being done in Washington, you want to pay attention to what's happening in the Texas House and the Texas Senate, go to the TexasScorecard.com. TexasScorecard.com is where they cover all the big news so you never get caught unawares or flat-footed about what the so-called Republicans in the Texas House have in store for you and your family. Also, check out ChrisSalcedo.com. That's where you go to leave me an email, leave me a voicemail, track down the Chris Salcedo shows on AM 700 KSEV, the voice of Texas, simulcast on TNT Radio worldwide. Also, check out the Chris Salcedo show on Newsmax TV every afternoon, 4 o'clock Eastern until 5. Until we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth isn't measured by how much power is stolen by an out-of-control government, whether it be on the federal or the local level. It is measured by how much power is reserved for you and me, we, the people. I mean this. Stay safe out there, my friends.